Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. The author Duncan is making his first appearance on our program today to talk to us not only about his journey in life, but what it's been like for him to reflect on his choices and what he's been able to go through, and now, of course, how he's been able to show other people what's possible. He's written his story in the book, Felon Attorney. We're going to talk to him not only about the book, but also what it's been like for him to hear from individuals like yourselves out there who have been able to find out about his story, hear about him, but also to be able to realize what's possible for them. If you're just now hearing about the book, we'll tell you a little bit later how you can get it for yourself, as well as, of course, how you can stay connected with the author. The author, hello to you, and welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be on.
Hey, man, the pleasure is definitely all mine. Congratulations to you. I said it to you before we went on here, but I think, you know, I think your story is so inspiring for so many people. I know recently you had a chance to share it in a television interview, a very powerful segment that went viral. I mean, what has it been like for you, the author, to be able to not only reflect on this life you've lived, but also to be able to realize how, by sharing your story, how you've been able to give hope to other people?
It's absolutely phenomenal. I mean, all the through Facebook and social media, people have been inboxing me and contacting me, telling me how my story has inspired them. I mean, there's a stigma in America for someone who has a felony. And basically, through my story, I want individuals to be able to see that, again, like I said in my promo from my local newscast, that, you know what I mean, mistakes in your life, it doesn't mean that your life is over. And despite of what you did in the past, I mean, you can overcome those past difficulties. You got to be patient with whatever you do, but if you stay fast and get on the right track, you can overcome those obstacles.
Yeah, I think that is so true. One of the things I said in my review on Amazon.com today, the author, though, is that unfortunately not everybody makes the decision that you did. And what I mean by that is you're very open and honest in the book about the things that you yourself did that kind of caused some of the trouble that you faced. But I think what I want our audience to really get from this conversation is that regardless of what you've done in your life, regardless of what you've been through, you don't have to be defined by that. When did that become clear to you that even though you had made mistakes, even though you had done things that you weren't proud of, that you knew weren't right, when did you realize that that was not the end of your chapter, that you could write a new chapter and that you could start fresh?
I mean, first of all, writing a book was kind of a therapy for me. And as I was writing it and as I read it, I was thinking to myself, I can't believe some of the things that I did and the choices that I made. Me going to jail and knowing I had to turn my life around, basically, that was what, you know, I mean, it had to come to a point that if I didn't change my life, then, you know, I mean, I was going to, like, basically die. I mean, it came to, you know, I mean, to that point that I had to change my life, or, you know, I mean, I would, if I stayed on the path I was at, I wouldn't be around anymore.
Yeah, I think that is true. And there were, you had warning signs along the way. We call them sometimes whispers, I think, for sure, the author, that, I mean, you had individuals that you would lose, like your friend Dog. And you talked about how,
yeah,
you know, that situation was one of those that you can literally be here today and gone tomorrow.
Yeah.
And you thought about that. And you felt a little bit of guilt even with that. I remember reading in the book where you said, you know, that maybe if you had called him, you know, or seen him, that he would still be alive. I mean, what was it like for you to know that there were people falling beside you, people that you knew, people that hit close to home, and that yet you were still here, that you realized at that point that you were here for a reason?
Yeah, I mean, as I said in my book, you know, I grew up in a church family as a junior deacon. My grandfather was a pastor, and I got older and I strayed away. And so, with that being said, I always knew I was doing wrong, and that I was living beneath my God-given gifts. I was always very smart, honor roll, never had to study. But, you know what I mean, and I hate to use this word, got caught up, because it was a decision that I made. But I hung around my old friends that I grew up in Buffalo, and slowly but surely I got involved with the game. And then even when I was doing it, I knew I was wrong, and I would, like, justify what I was doing and say, well, I got to, you know what I mean, take care of my son. I got bills to pay. I can't stop just yet until I see this amount of money. I'll stop next year, or I'll stop after I finish that. And I kept justifying what I was doing. And all the while, again, I knew I was wrong. And until finally, when I went to jail, I mean that made me had to stop. And then jail gave me an opportunity to start all over again.
Yeah, I think that's it. And I think it's that beginning that I think so many people can really learn from, the author. We're going to talk more about that. For those who are just tuning in, either on the Radio Dial or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. I'm speaking with attorney, the author, Duncan. We're talking with him not only about his own journey in life, but what it's been like for him to see the way that his book, Felon Attorney, is being able to resonate with people. And what I thought was also interesting, the author, is that whether people have gone through what you have or not, I think there is a chord in this book that really does, you know, strike us. Because I think, again, we all know what it's like to have people doubt us. We all know what it's like to doubt ourselves. We all know what it's like to get, you know, in situations that we know better. But it really is about the decision moving forward. One of the things that you talk about in the book, too, is you use a couple of biblical references, but one that really I thought was an interesting one for you to use was Lazarus. And you talked about in the book about how, you know, just like Lazarus, of course, was in his grave for those days, there you were in a situation where you hadn't done what you were accused of at that point, but you found yourself in a position where, you know, you could see that you could emerge from this better. I mean, did things like that kind of keep you from losing faith in yourself and also from losing faith in God?
Yeah, I mean, And like I say in the book, when I got put in a hole for something I didn't do, and I kind of questioned God, because even though I was in jail, you know, I was going to church every Sunday. I was going to Bible study. I was staying away from negative influences, not doing the stuff people were doing in jail. And so even though I was in jail, I was trying to live holy, so to speak. And then when I got put in the hole for something that I didn't do, I kind of questioned God, like, okay, God, I'm trying to change my life around. Why am I in this hole? But me being put in the hole was my one-on-one with God, him breaking me down to what my pastor always say, the pig pen ministry. Basically, that was my low. And basically, yeah. I came out of that situation a new person. And the dream I had about Lazarus, Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, the analogy I use of me coming out of the hole, after that, my life was totally changed from there on.
Yeah, I think that is the thing. And I think, you know, it should be said that one of the things that you kind of make very clear in the book, the author, is that it wasn't just the guys doing this. I mean, there were some shady females around you as well who were, you know, of course, not having any regard for themselves and also for others. But I think, you know, I bring that up because I think, you know, this is not just a guy thing. It's not just a black male problem. It really is a humankind problem, you know, where people, you know, don't realize for themselves, you know, what they can accomplish, and they kind of settle for just about anything. You know, I mentioned earlier about realizing that, you know, that there was something else for you. And I think a lot of times that is not an easy thing to believe and to embrace, especially when we're going through a challenge. You mentioned, you know, being a father. You talk about your children in the book as well, especially your second son. Of course, at that point you were married. How did fatherhood, how has it changed you? How has it helped you to realize the importance of the decisions you make and also the consequences of the decisions you make?
I mean, that's such a loaded question. I mean, so much of what I do is for my family and for my kids, trying to set a better example. Don't want them to make the same mistakes I've made. But at the same time, like my 10-year-old son, he knows about my past and me, like, changing my life around. And so basically it's something I don't hide from him, because I let him know that sometimes we do make mistakes, and people make mistakes. And basically his father was able to realize he was making a mistake and change his life around. So basically with him, I can use that analogy with him as far as saying that, okay, I tell him, okay, you made a mistake, but that's not the end of it. You can, you know, you can do better now. That mistake doesn't, you know what I mean, affect you for the rest of your life if you did something wrong in school or if you did or you didn't listen to what you were supposed to do. You know what I mean? You can make amends for what you did and get on a better path. And so, you know what I mean? So I don't hide the fact that, you know what I mean, I've made a mistake in the past. You know what I mean? And I don't say I celebrate it, but, I mean, the thing is that I was able to make that change, and he knows it, and my other kids, they know it, you know what I mean? And so, like, the big picture is, like, even for all included, that, you know what I mean, because you make a mistake, it doesn't define you. And that's just not, you know what I mean, because you do something wrong, you know what I mean, you don't have to stop pursuing your goals or trying to be who you are because of a mistake that you made in the past.
Right. I think that is it for sure. You know, you also talk about, of course, God's plan in the book and how, you know, maybe there was another plan for yourself. You know, of course, the book is entitled Felon Attorney. We've been kind of focusing on what happened with you in jail. What was it that made you say that law was going to be what you attained to? Because, again, when people hear the word felon, they don't automatically think of the felon becoming an attorney. You know, they think about the felon having an attorney. What was it like for you to be able to say, you know what, this is something that I want to do, and this is what I'm going to work toward?
Yeah, putting the word felon and attorney together is kind of like an oxymoron, to the point that they definitely don't go together. Me becoming an attorney, it was something that, you know, when you're younger, everybody say, what you want to be when you grow up, besides the athlete is, oh, I want to be a doctor, I want to be a lawyer. But, you know what I mean, at a younger age, you don't know what has to go into becoming a doctor or a lawyer. Being a lawyer is something that I kicked around at a younger age. It's something I wanted to do. Again, you know what I mean, I strayed off into a different direction, and when I got out of jail, I really didn't know what I was going to do, but I always knew I was smart, and books always came easy to me, and I knew, you know what I mean, to kind of counteract this felony, I had to do something through education. I had to get some letters behind my name. I had to be an educated person to survive in this world, even with this felony. And I enrolled into a community college, and I got close to a professor, and he basically put me on the spot and asked me what did I want to do after I got my associates. I had him for two classes. I had A's in his classes. He was like, you're a very smart young man. Well, what are you going to do after this? And I told him that I said, well, I always wanted to be an attorney. But, you know, I mean, I kind of wrote it off because of my felony. And I said, I don't think I can because of my felony record. And I always say, if anybody don't learn anything from my story, please understand this. Don't assume anything. Do the research. You do not know what you can and cannot do by what they say or what you heard or what someone thinks. And so I was guilty of that. I assumed that I couldn't. And he told me, he said, well, Arthur, I don't know about that. Let me look into it for you. And, of course, he looked into it, and he came back, and he said a couple of weeks later, Arthur, I got good news for you, and I got bad news. He was like, the good news that there's not a bar to become an attorney in New York State. And I said, well, what's the bad news? He said, well, the bad news is that you can get your associates, you can get your bachelor's, go to law school, graduate from law school, take the New York State Bar and pass it. But after everybody passed the New York State Bar, they have to go in front of this character and fitness committee. Now, for those that don't have any past issues, it's not a big deal. But because you have a felony, you're going to have to go in front of this committee comprised of lawyers and judges. And at that point, even after everything you've done, they can tell you no. And there's no way you can find out, you know what I mean, beforehand. You have to go through the process and then get in front of that committee and find out whether they're going to say yay or nay. And so when he posed that to me, you know, I'm fresh out of jail, just trying to find some way. And I thought about it, and I was like, the worst case scenario would be that I would have a Juris Doctorate. And I was like, that's the worst I could do. And I knew God was with me, and so I stepped out on faith. And I decided to do it.
Wow. You know, I think, you know, I mentioned earlier the author about belief. And, you know, you again are very open about the fact that, you know, even though your grades at one point, you know, did not look as though you were going to be headed in the direction to become an attorney, you know, you still were able to push forward because you realized that you had to step it up. You had to keep pushing. Is that a mentality that you feel like has served you well just in life overall? The importance of not letting a challenge stop you and realizing that if you truly want something, no matter what it might be, you have to keep pushing for it.
You know, I have a strong belief in God that when I do something, even if I'm not successful at that time, it's just not my time yet. Because I know God has His own time. So even when I failed a bar the first time, like 3 points, I didn't get, you know what I mean, all sad and stuff. I mean, at one point I did, but I come to the realization, I said, it wasn't my time yet. You know what I mean? God wasn't ready for me to pass yet. It wasn't my time yet. And, you know what I mean? So that's how I kind of live by the words, like, okay, if I'm not successful in something, it's not my time yet. Or at the same time, God got something better for me. So I'm always, you know what I mean, I'm an optimist. You know what I mean? Even being a felon, and I was always an optimist. You know what I mean? If this is not for me, it's something else on the horizon. If I don't do this right, then, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? It'll take some time, and eventually it'll turn out for the better. And so that's how I kind of live, you know what I mean? thinking in those terms that, you know what I mean? I even when I was in law school and when I had the bad grades, that was because I was in, I went to my first year of law school. I did it in Cleveland, and I was back, and I was traveling back to Buffalo. Like as soon as I got out of school, I would come back to Buffalo to take care of my family. So I was basically doing 3 days in Cleveland and 4 days in Buffalo, that 3-hour drive, like back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So I wasn't studying. So even when I got those bad grades, I kind of knew why I got the bad grades, because I wasn't studying. Because school was always easy to me, even in undergrad. I didn't study as much as I could. At the time when I was an undergrad, I was still working like 50, 60 hours a week driving a wheelchair van. And I would study and do my homework on the van while I would wait for clients. So I wasn't ever actually sitting down at a desk studying, even in undergrad. I really didn't have to study until I got into law school. And then that first semester in law school, I still wasn't studying because I was too busy coming back to Buffalo to take care of my family. The second semester of law school in Cleveland, I told my wife that I couldn't come back. I needed to study, and I was able to turn my grades around.
Yeah. You know, and I think, again, that is that determination. And that is the thing that separates you from so many others, the author, is that, unfortunately, not everybody would have the patience. They would not have the persistence and the tenacity to be able to stick with it. And that is why, unfortunately, we hear about so many people who may come out of jail, end up going right back in because of different circumstances, because, you know, they look at where they are and think that's all that they have. You know, in Chapter 9 of the book, I actually want to read something that you said. I mentioned earlier you used some biblical references. I mentioned the Lazarus one earlier. In Chapter 9, we have the example of Lot's wife. And, of course, for those who know the biblical account, Lot's wife looked back, and of course that was the beginning of her demise. You talk about, of course, being able to think about where you were, the author, and this is what you say. For those who have the print edition of the book, it's found on page 118. I felt like Lot's wife from the Bible. If I looked back, something bad would happen to me. During time in the prison camp was a form of psychological torture. You had to stay somewhere you didn't want to be, even though there were no gates or anything to stop you from leaving. So in essence, you had to mentally wrap the fence around your brain and fight the urge to leave to avoid the consequences. There were no markings on the campus where you were considered out of bounds. You just knew. Although surviving prison is not an accomplishment worth bragging about, I still felt good that I'd done my time with integrity. I didn't lie or pretend to be someone I wasn't just to fit in with the crowd. I chose whom I interacted with carefully. I'd done my time and left quietly. As I exited, I wished they would forget me like I was never there. The point that really struck me, the reason I wanted to read that, the author, is because when you talked about the importance of leaving with your integrity intact, because for so many people, they do not live their day-to-day life, even though they're seen in the quote-unquote free world. But they are definitely, they are kind of in prison because they're living for someone else. What have you been able to share, especially with young people? I'm not talking about your family necessarily, but just as you're speaking to individuals, about the importance of just being true to yourself and not allowing other people to be able to sway you to become something that you're not.
I mean, and that's key. What I basically have been stressing to, you know, our students and the youth when I talk to them and some kids I've been mentoring is if I made selfishness. And when I say selfishness, I mean, and I would always tell my son, is that you are the most important person in the world. You are. Nobody else. Because if you can't take care of yourself, if you're not a successful individual, if you don't have your stuff together, how can you do for anybody else? So you have to put yourself first. So if I'm not in a situation and I don't put myself first, if I don't have my stuff together, when you need something, I can't help you because I don't got my stuff together. So you have to be selfish. Even if, and you cannot like live for others. A lot of the sad part is the kids nowadays, all they care about is they block, they neighborhood, they park. And I used to kind of think that way. It was all about my neighborhood and where I was from and all that. And now that mentality is killing us. And so basically you're living your life for a neighborhood, a block, a street that you don't own. It was there before you got there, and it's going to be there after you leave. And you're going to die claiming some neighborhood or some gang or some street. And you're living for that gang. You're living for that neighborhood. You're not living for yourself. So you have to be selfish and put yourself first and think, what's the best for me? What's the best for me? What's the best situation for me? How can I be the best person that I can be? And that's going to be through education, through working, through making the right decisions, through not hanging around the bad crowd. So you have to be selfish in your thinking. When someone asks you to do something or go somewhere, you got to think first, okay, what if this happened? And what if this is going to happen? How is this going to affect me? So you have to be selfish. So once you put yourself first and be the best person you can be, then you're going to look around and you're not going to be in on bad surroundings because you made yourself the best person you can be.
Yeah. I think that's it. What a great lesson. What a great thing for all of us to be able to remember. Again, everyone, attorney the author Duncan is our guest for this segment. He's the author of the book, Felon Attorney. So, the author, what is your hope when people read your story, when they hear about your story? What do you hope they're able to realize is possible for themselves?
Well, one thing I want everybody to know is, and this I've been getting a lot of this, I still have a felony. I didn't get my felony expunged, erased. And I always say the only way my felony is going to go away is President Obama gives me a pardon before he leaves. There's no telling who's going to get in office next. But I am still a felon. And I put that out there because of that stigma, because I don't want someone to say, oh, he's an attorney now. He must have got his felony erased or he got his felony expunged. No, I'm still a felon. And so with that, you know what I mean? Now you don't have an excuse to say, oh, I'm a felon, I can't do this and I can't do that. So please believe, I'm still a felon. So with that saying, that removes the excuse when someone comes to me and say, oh, the Arthur, you know, I can't do this, I can't do that because I'm a felon. Well, and then I know you're an attorney now, but then I look them in the face and say, well, I'm still a felon. And I have accomplished this, that, and the third. So that's one lesson, I want people to know. Secondly, you know what I mean, being from a neighborhood, you know what I mean, that I'm somebody that grew up around the corner from me. In the neighborhood, everybody knows me. The neighborhood I grew up in, Buffalo, is very low income, poverty, you know what I mean, a lot of abandoned houses and stuff. And I grew up, you know what I mean, around the corner from you, so to speak. So you can't tell me that nothing good can come out of this neighborhood. Another thing is I graduated from law school at the age of 43 with a wife and 5 kids. So it's never too late to go back to school. And just never, you know what I mean? Despite me taking care of my wife and kids, I was able to, you know what I mean, go to school and graduate. So you can't use that excuse. Oh, I'm old or I got a wife and kids to support. So you can't use that as an excuse. So basically, with my story, I hope to inspire and to remove some excuses. And another thing is, I want people, and this is a shocker because I've worked in a law office for like 4 years, and no one knew about no one knew about my felony except for my boss, and it was kind of like on a need to know basis.
Right.
So what happens is when people would, because I'm an attorney for the city of Buffalo, so I do civil litigation for that, and a lot of people sue, when they sue the city, and before we do depositions, they will look up the plaintiff's criminal records. So to speak, so basically when I get a file, it'll have someone's criminal records basically saying, oh, this guy is not an up and up, he's a felon, he's probably lying, he's just trying to get a payday. So there was that stigma and how you looking at someone who's been to jail before, not knowing that the person that you're giving the file to been in jail before. So when my story came out, the people that I work with, now they kind of like, they got to take a second look. They got to change their perspective, like, oh, wait a minute. I was thinking like this about ex-felons and stuff, but the author's an ex-felon. I've been working with him for 4 or 5 years, and he's a great guy. So now you got to think different about it. So now your perspective has to change. And so I'm hoping that people that's in that has the ability to hire felons will say, oh, you know what I mean? Let's give this guy a chance to look at the Arthur story. Look, you know what I mean? Look at these success stories. And that's why it's so important for me to share that, share my story and not keep it to myself. And I always say, God bless me too much for me to keep this story a secret. And I also always say that if I would have just did the traditional, you know, high school, you know, the college, law school, whatever, and become an attorney, I was like, well, I would probably be way further along in my career. But it wasn't, that wasn't meant for me. That wasn't my assignment. To me, my assignment was to show with all these people that's in jail, you know what I mean, with all these young black men and all these people all across the country in federal prison and state prison and stuff, for them to be able to come out and be and have someone to kind of look at, and knowing that there is a second chance out there to be able to change your life, and to be able to point and say, okay, there's an example right there, and I want to be visual because a lot of times, you know, I mean, we hear something and we say, oh, y'all heard about this guy who turned into a lawyer. He was in jail. No, I want to be on the front so you can see me. I want to be able to, so you can reach out and have a conversation with me and talk to me and let me tell you what I went through so it can resonate with you that you can do it too. And I'm not saying everybody can become an attorney. It's kind of like, and I've been getting emails from people from all over the country, Kentucky, Maryland, Florida, all I'm asking about, you know what I mean, how did I become an attorney as with a felony and stuff. And I tell them, you know what I mean? Do the research. You know what I mean? Find out what you can and can't do. If you want to go into a certain type of field, do the research and find out what you can do and can't do. The sad part is I spoke at a community college. One of the counselors heard about my story. She came to me. She said, Arthur, I need you to come and speak to our criminal justice department. We've been telling these kids all wrong. We've been telling them that if you've been in trouble before, you cannot become an attorney or pursue anything in the legal field. And I'm thinking to myself, that's a shame. And there's no telling how long you've been telling kids this. So you, for years, you've been giving out wrong information.
Right. Wow. And that's why stories like this are so important, the author, and that's why I hope people are able to realize again, you know, that there really is nothing that they can't be able to overcome. There will be challenges, of course, but if they're willing to do the work, who knows where that hard work and dedication and that faith will be able to lead them, and they definitely have you as an example. Again, everyone, the author, Duncan, has been our guest. Great conversation with you, the author. The book is Felon Attorney. It's available now through our friends at Amazon.com, so you all can definitely get it there. The author, how can our audience stay connected with you and keep up what's coming up next for you?
Well, they can. I'm on Twitter, Facebook. I don't know my hashtags and stuff. I'm sorry. you could just kind of, I guess, Google me. You know what I mean? I hate to use that, but I'm on Facebook. You know what I mean? I accept everybody's friendship. The author, Tone Duncan, or Felon Attorney is my author page. I'm also on Twitter. You probably can go through Cyrus's page to connect with me. I'm also on Instagram. And I also have my own website, www.felon-attorney.com. You can leave me a message. Again, that's www.felon-attorney.com. And you can leave me a message and get in touch with me. And I would love to talk to you. I call me on the phone, whatever. I'm reachable.
Got you. And the author is right. We already have him tagged on our Twitter page, at the author Esquire, ESQ is where you all can find him there. And we've already tagged him there to make it easy. The author, man, congratulations to you again, man. Thank you so much for the time. And looking forward to having you back on the show again, man.
I appreciate it. I enjoyed being on your show.
Hey, same here, man. And we thank you, our listeners, for joining us for another great segment of Conversations Live. If you all came in late, you missed part of the conversation with the author. For those joining us on the radio side, you missed our conversation with Lisa Gibbons. Don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through our social media sites. So head over to Facebook.com/CyrusWebb or go over to Twitter.com/CyrusWebb. You can click on the link there, listen to the show completely for free, and share it with your friends from there. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. You all make it a great one.